Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. Tonight's episode is a rebroadcast of one of our most popular shows, an interview with James Gilliland of the E-SETI Ranch. Since James was with us for the May Pleiadian lineup, and the November Pleiadian lineup is just now concluding, we thought this would be a good time to present it to you again. From all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy, Lavendar, Ariel, Sierra, Purple Sage, Tammy, Belva, and Anastasia, we wish you the happiest Thanksgiving, and may your heart be filled with the ever-expanding ray of gratitude. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, May 17th, 2011, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. We're in the middle of Pleiadian lineup tonight, and the full moon today at 27 Scorpio is also Pleiadian degree, and it's perfect timing for our special guest this evening, Mr. James Gilliland of the E-SETI Ranch. That's a mouthful. E-SETI stands for Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and that's what goes on at his place. Located near Trout Lake, Washington, his ranch is a vortex of energy that attracts over 3,000 sightings of UFOs each year and has been there for over 10 years. Unlike the Billy Meyer contacts, James welcomes people to share the experience since his ranch is one of the hottest spots on the planet for ET contact. His website is www.esetti.org, where you can see it for yourself. He's got great videos on there. A recent documentary about these unprecedented events shows their potential to change the course and destiny of humanity. James has appeared on many high-profile shows such as Coast to Coast, the History Channel, ABC, and Fox News, and he's written for many major publications like UFO Magazine. And before we bring James on, Lavendar is going to talk a little bit about Pleiadian lineup. If you don't know what it is, you're going to find out. We'd like to thank Purple Sage and Mystic for handling the switchboard and chat room this evening. And we'd appreciate your chat being on topic. Mystic will be forwarding your questions to us from the chat room for those who can't call in. If you can call, our number is 917-889-8292. Then press 1 so we know you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief, and tonight, please, only questions or comments on our topics. Before we get started, I'd like to ask each and every one of you for your help. We get a lot of wonderful emails from our listeners and members of our community wanting to know what they can do to help us. As you know, our motto is empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. And one of the best ways we can do that is to increase our visibility. Even though we've had over 33,000 listens to our show, so far only 280 have actually registered at Blog Talk Radio and clicked the word follow on our page. So if we could really increase our number of official followers, we'll have a better chance of increasing our visibility and being a featured show here. So please, register for free and click the word follow on our show page. The Starseed Radio Academy team is grateful for your help. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for you in our Starseed Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com, and that would be .ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And yes, I'm still working on adding photos for all of our archive shows so we don't have to keep seeing that gigantic headshot of me every time. We'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. We also want you to know that we have so many requests for our Starseed Confirmation service, which we call a Stage 1 reading, that there could be up to a two-week wait. With a Stage 1 reading, you'll get your natal and progress charts and an MP3 of your reading, pointing out and explaining your star markings if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority and include the Starseed Confirmation. Both Lavendar and I are available for Starseed Confirmation and personal consultation. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. And make sure you give us, at least a week or two ahead of time to run those charts. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so don't miss it. And now I would like to introduce my co-host, Lavendar and Sierra.
Well, hello to everyone, Arielle and Sierra and Purple Sage and Mystic. I'm just really excited to talk about some things that are kind of happening now with Pleiadian lineup. And first, though, I would like to acknowledge that our friend, Roy Dutton, our scientist friend in England, his book is ready, and I just wanted to read a little bit about his book. It's called UFOs in Reality, and you can go to www.authorhouse.com.uk to see this. And it says, this book is the serious work of a professional aerospace engineer. It shares profound discoveries made during 40-plus years of objective research about the nature of UFOs, especially those with craft-like characteristics. It covers virtually all aspects of the phenomena, including those stories of close encounters with alien creatures and of time loss and claimed abductions by the witnesses. Within these pages, you'll discover that genuine sightings and encounters are shown to have been in accordance with now-identified age-old programs referencing the sun and selected stars. This predictable system seems to have been set up eons ago to facilitate long-term monitoring of our species by fully automated craft, some of which could be operating routinely without occupants from the outer fringes of our solar system. The technology being used is currently beyond us, but why should we expect it to be otherwise? It is revealed that several alien species seem to be cooperating and generally following the same rules of engagement with this planet. The UFO phenomena is now shown to be a serious matter, requiring the full attention of scientists and indeed of everyone living on this planet. This book demonstrates that we humans seem to live in a wider reality than we're programmed naturally to experience from birth. The visiting craft seem to operate in that wider reality and have the ability to open the minds of selected individuals, enabling those people to share that enhanced state of consciousness with them. Why not judge that for yourself after you have considered the testable evidence now being revealed by this mind-expanding book? Herein, you will discover facts that almost certainly have been withheld by official investigators since the end of World War II. And again, that website is www.authorhouse.co.uk. You know, I talk to Roy every Sunday. Every Sunday, I Skype him in England, and I have been doing this for over a year. And one of the reasons that our conversation started was because I realized that he was scientifically finding times when the Pleiadians would come down on this May and November alignment. They would, you know, let off their scout ships and then pick them back up. This is all revealed in his book. So I'm very excited to announce that his book is now in publication. And he was also on the front cover of the UFO magazine, I believe, last month. So kudos to you, Roy. I hope that you're listening to this in England. I'm very, very proud to have this information available through our radio academy. And so I just wanted to let you know that We love you and care about you and all these years that you spent, you know, putting this information together. We realize that you have done it from a true heart space, and that, and you've done it from a scientific space. So heart and science came together in this book, and I really acknowledge you for that. So now I want to talk a little bit about Pleiadian lineup. So many people have asked me, well, what's happening this Pleiadian lineup? Well, I will have a report after after they leave the planet. So I'm not going to really reveal too much about what they're doing right now, except to give you a general overview of what Pleiadian lineup really is. So, you know, a long time ago, an advanced civilization from the Pleiades star system introduced their genetics on planet Earth, and they observed the evolution of the species, experimenting with ways to further spiritual development. Atlantis, the ancient Egyptian and Greek civilizations, were all Pleiadian projects, and their program energy signature was encoded and imprinted on DNA, the way fingerprints are left behind when you touch something. This energy signature responds to its own origins like a radio tune for one station. So when our sun is at galactic degree 25, 26, 27 degree of Taurus or of Scorpio, see right now it's in Taurus, we are in the astronomical alignment with the Pleiades, both at the conjunct in Taurus or the opposition in Scorpio, which is in November. The Pleiadian energy signature on the planet is activated like a gong that lasts for 3 to 4 days, twice a year. It is a time of Pleiadian entrances and exits, when they tend to their projects, whether starting, maintaining, or ending. Those with a matching energy signature can be activated, woken up. Those already awake can be empowered. And those ready to finish and graduate may leave or start something new at a higher level. While the Pleiadian interaction here isn't limited to this timing, it is the time of the highest activity. Someone born with a planet or house cusp, the galactic degree in Taurus or Scorpio, would be connected to the Pleiadians at some level all the time, unless their bloodline had been so intermixed that the original encoding is skewed. It's like your radio station isn't coming in loud and clear, but if you really want to, you can train your ears to listen. So pay attention to what happens on May 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, and also November 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, not only in your personal life, but on a global scale. Because of leap year, sometimes the sun might reach 25 degrees before the 16th, but that's something you can easily find out, and thanks to the Internet, as it is the astronomical information. So right now, the sun is at 26 Taurus, and of course we had this really full moon at that degree. And you know, I noticed, Ariel, that the full moon was exactly at the same degree full when I was in Cairo, Egypt in 1983 on Pleiadian lineup. And so it's like this is a really strong activation personally for me and the stories that I've been holding in the vault. So I just wanted to make note of that.
Wow.
So I wanted to tell everyone that we have lots of ships in, lots of activations going on. And, you know, I kind of look at it as they're on the Pleiades and they're all sitting around with their popcorn and Cokes and they're looking at Earth. And it's like the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, I kind of, you know, that's the image I like to think about, because all the monitoring stations on the Pleiades is attuned to these times of the year. And so a lot of people will have, you know, there will be video cameras going on in different places and people's homes and institutions and, you know, all over the planet. The computers are turned on. The ley lines are activated. And because so many Pleiadian walk-ins and Pleiadian starseeds have been asking for help, a lot of the Pleiadians have come in to actually neutralize some of the technologies that have caused so many problems on this planet, including HAARP. So they've got a lot of work to do. Those that are in alignment and can tune in to what they're doing will be part of it. There's a lot of energies being projected concerning atomic power right now because of the situation in Japan. And our consciousness is being raised every day. DNA activations are happening right and left. And, you know, sometimes I get up and go, oh, boy, I got to chew and walk, you know, chew gum and try to walk at the same time, because I noticed that with some of my dexterity that walls seem to be coming at me, and I may hit a wall now and then during this time. You might get a little dizzy. You might feel a little off balance, but then that will come back. And that's just a DNA activation that happens. So, Arielle, do you have anything you'd like to add about Pleiadian lineup?
Well, yes, yes, I do. I want to remind our listeners who do crystal work that you know, each month when the sun reaches galactic degree is a good time to put your crystals out in the noonday sun. But now is you know, there's two times a year that's probably the premium times, and certainly if you are with Pleiadian DNA, having that frequency charged up in your crystals would be an asset to you. So take your crystals, make sure they're cleaned, you know, properly with the salt or different, some people use salt and vinegar, but make sure they've been cleared and charged with this Pleiadian frequency. And we do have James with us. I see him now on the switchboard, so I think this is a perfect time to introduce James, and just incredible. If you have not been to his website, I'm going to put it up on the comments section, but I forgot to do that. It is www.eceti, which is ECETI.org, and it's just incredible what's going on out there. So we are very, very pleased to introduce Mr. James Gilliland to our audience. Hello, James. You're on the air.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
We're doing just great. We're so pleased to have you here.
Oh, great to be on the show.
So, James, how long have you, I think it said on the website, for 10 years you've been out on this ranch?
Actually, I've been here 25.
Oh.
But for 10 years, we've just had very just in-your-face contact for the past 10 years.
Wow, that's pretty consistent. And did I remember correctly when from your website that you have over 3,000 sightings every year?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know how many. I stopped counting. it's pretty crazy because, you know, every night here we see something, and some nights, I think on an extreme night we might see 150, and on a slow night we might see maybe 10 or 20 or something like that. So it's you know, and every once in a while we're skunked. You know, every once in a while there's nothing. You know, they're busy doing something else somewhere else on the planet, and there's nothing going on. So
right.
Very seldom does that happen.
Wow. And, I mean, I was almost thinking, like, talking to a friend of mine, that it's almost like they're performing because they're such a great vortex that is not only natural in the land, but the people that come there, you actually do some ceremony with them to do a unity thing to increase this vortex where they... I'm getting some background noise here.
Yeah.
Is your mic muted, Sierra? I'm going to hope so. Your phone. Where you actually do some energy work to set the frequency tone prior to your Skywatch.
Yes, we do a lot of work here. It just depends on what is going on at the time. We're kind of in the moment with it. And we do a lot of clearing work here because it is a vortex or a portal, and we have to make sure the energy stays clear here. So we're always clearing, you know, unseen negative influences and thought forms, things like that, and making sure that there is a very clean environment. And the people here are doing something very different than most places. You know, a lot of the UFO investigative groups and things like that, but they're out there running around trying to chase them down and get a photo, and where there's activity, they go there. But one of the problems with that is that you have to rise to the occasion. And and to connect with them. And so what we did here at the ranch, it started out as a awakening and healing center, like an educational center and healing center. We're doing some of the most powerful process-oriented therapy and spiritual practices and Yigong and some very ancient practices here on a regular basis. So we rose the occasion, and then we invited them in, which is a whole new concept, you know, with most of the UFO groups out there, and it's worked very well with us. The activity's been going on here since hundreds of years. The Native Americans talk about it. Kenneth Arnold lost sight of the ships when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams in 1947. So there's a long, long history of fire tower spotters seeing them, forest rangers, police, tribal police. Even Dr. J. Allen Hynek did investigations up here. But the one thing that we've been doing is we're very eclectic here, and we have, you know, yogis and lamas and Native American elders, and people come here and do a lot of ceremony. And kind of the way they look at it is that it's just intent. If you are get clear and focused and set your intent and send out that love and joy and bliss frequency, they pick it up, you know, and they'll come and what we call do a little dazzle duty. They drop over the people and power up, and it lights up the whole field, and you feel a big energy pulse go through you. And
wow.
Everybody gets really giddy. You know, it's a real giddy energy, a really high energy.
Right. Well, I know I heard on one of the videos I was watching, there were people, they were like, you know, laughing and hooping and hollering. They just couldn't. They were like kids that they couldn't contain themselves. There was such and you're right, it's giddy almost when you see, and they just, I mean, they're doing acrobatics, so mm-hmm. I'm putting on a show. I mean, but it's because you cleaned your house, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know, because company's not coming if you don't clean the house.
Well, you know, I've had people come here that were very negative. Every once in a while we'll get one, and they're really very, very, very negative, you know, and they're saying, you know, I don't believe in any of this, prove it to me, and things like that, and I just laugh. You know, and I said, it's not between me and you, it's between you and them, and you should pick a chair up and go out in the field and meditate. And so they get really upset at me because I won't bow down to their program, you know, their power program, prove it to me and everything else. And I just said, I'm not here to prove anything to anybody. I'm just here to help people have their own experience if they want to, but that's about it. And it's kind of hilarious watching, you know, the whole process, and some of them actually come to terms with it and let go of the ego and needing to be in control and special, and then they have just outrageous experiences, and others, it might take them a little longer. You know, they might go away very angry because nothing happened, because that's the reality that they created. They brought that reality here.
Right, right. Well, you know, if you're sitting there with your arms folded across your chest and a, you know, just with that kind of energy, like, go ahead and prove it to me.
Yeah.
It's just not what it's about. It's about alignment. And certainly
exactly. It
is, yeah, I mean, it's our responsibility to raise our frequency to the point where they would, you know, care to interact with us.
Definitely. They talked a lot about that. I've had telepathic contact pretty much all my life. I didn't know who it was before. And they've talked a lot about that. And they said it makes them ill almost to be around some of us, because we project so much fear and anger and guilt and unworthiness, and all those old programs, we're still carrying those issues. It's very hard for them to be around that, and they don't even want to be around it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And when they come here, we greet them with aggression. We send up our best military toys, you know, to engage them, and that's not their reality. They don't want to have anything to do with that, although there's nothing we can do about them, and they're so far beyond our reality. Everybody goes, well, why don't they just land? There's nothing. If they're that advanced, what are we going to do about it? And I said, well, it's going to be a real mess for everybody on the ground, you know. you know, when, especially when they leave, and why would they want to put everybody in jeopardy and create all these problems? It's up to us to choose to embrace them, you know, without fear and without superstition and without, you know, all of our issues coming up. You know, the bottom line is we need to rise to the occasion, and then they will come and they will work with us.
Mm-hmm. And especially, now, do you notice any peaks, like during the year, that there's more activity or any patterns that you've noticed?
You know, it's interesting. What I find is the more people that are out participating in it and putting the thought out there, the intention out there for contact and sending out a nice, loving, joyous frequency, it seems like the more activity we have and the closer they come. They'll drop in closer. And it's more related to the people, but in the summertime we have a lot of people here, especially July and August, and it gets real busy then. And when we have gatherings here, they always buzz the gatherings. So they'll come on and do a nice show for the people that are here. But it's kind of what I see, just the weather a lot of times, because, you know, in the wintertime there's just a lot of snow and rain and nobody's out watching. So they could be there, and there would be, you know, it's like the tree fell in the forest and nobody was there with it.
Right. Right. So
UFO appeared, and if nobody out there, would anybody know it? You know, one of those things.
Right, right. And I'm seeing the correlation in I'm getting the echo again. It's going away. The correlation is I was seeing almost like the moths and the flame, and the bigger the flame is, the more come in. You know,
mm-hmm.
the higher the energy, the higher the frequency, the more sweet it would appeal to for them to come, and that makes total sense.
Exactly. Oh, and you know what else is really funny here, even literally, it seems like this time of the year, you know, up to about a month ago, the snows are all gone, so we're cleaning everything up and cleaning all the trash up and everything. And you know, we have these big burn piles. And so for some reason, it seems every time we light up these big burn piles, you know, to clean up the area, they always come down to check it out. And I, you know, it's like, I'm not saying everybody go out and make a giant bonfire, you know, especially if it isn't legal. That's not a good idea. But it was quite interesting how I've seen over and over again when we go out in the back part of the ranch here, it's a 70-acre ranch, you know, we're just cleaning up a bunch of fallen limbs and debris and things like that. They always, when we have a big fire there, they always drop down to check it out. It's like they're watching over us, making sure, you know, that nothing happens or whatever.
Right, that it wasn't an accident, and they don't want the farm to burn down. So
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Oh. When you are, you know, personally at night when you're sleeping, is there also a lot of activity that's, you know, inner and, you know, going aboard ship?
Yes, definitely. There's, you know, I just got back from Shasta and doing a talk there in Shasta at the WESAC Festival. And that was one of the things I talked about, was how the technologies that they have are so far beyond anything we can imagine, that they have the ability to take you up on the ships, to take you out of body up on the ships, or even physically up on the ships and put you back, and you wouldn't even know it happened, other than it would seem like a very vivid dream. And you could be walking out in a field and be in mid-stride, and they could take you up and teach you and work with you for like 2 weeks or so, and then put you back, and you'd finish the step and just be a little spacey after it happened. You know, might stumble a little bit, but that's about it. And you wouldn't even know what happened, although all of a sudden you'd have all this information and that would help you later on in life.
Right, and I know that they would never interact with someone who wasn't, as we said before, coming up to meet them in frequency.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you've got your energy field clear. You stay in an enlightened state, and you've got some mastery of your own soul, and you know, keeping your energy at a really high level, mm-hmm. and not participating in the lower frequency activities and that. So anyone who is also in that state as you are would be more likely to be worked with and assisted than people who can't get their frequency up high enough.
If you're just resonating in social consciousness and you're not doing your spiritual practices, and even so, you don't even have to do your spiritual practice so much. You just have to be a decent human being and a service-oriented in your consciousness, not doing the me thing or the self-serving program. And you'd meet the criteria, and just all you'd have to do is set the intent, you know, that you want to know who you are and who they are and what your connection is. And you know, a lot of people, everybody's waiting for the big landing. It already happened. It was called the soul, you know, landing in the body. And there's so many people that have incarnated straight in from the Pleiades or from the Orion Council gliders that came in from the Andromedas, and a lot of Sirian incarnations. The felines, you know, are coming up now, and I'm seeing that quite a bit. And a lot of people very, very connected into, you know, this latest big barrage of beings that are coming in, which are these cat-like beings that are there's fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional ones. Some have a lion head. They're humanoid lions like Sekhmet, and those are the seventh dimensional ones. And some are fifth dimensional that are just very similar to us, you know, in their size, but they're felines, and they have a very close fur. The ones I've seen so far were golden. I've seen one with a darker fur, but extremely loving. And the first contact I had with one, she just jumped up and ran to me and gave me a big hug, like it was a long-lost brother or family.
Wow.
And it was just just a meltdown. The energy was so beautiful.
Wow. So do you think that you have a pretty wide cross-section of different non-terrestrial species there?
Definitely. One of the things we have here, too, is we live right at the base of Mount Adams. And we have a lot of video of this door opening up, this massive light door opens up on the mountain, and objects come out of it. And we've seen everything from ships coming out of it, light ships, to these crazy orb-type structures. They're not regular orbs, but they're much bigger and brighter, and they have all these other oscillating fields and dimensions to them. And the last thing we filmed was a light being actually coming out and walking towards us. It was about 400 feet tall, which was pretty bizarre.
Wow. So I guess you would need a mountain to live in.
Yeah. There's so much going on here. I mean, we've had Kuan Yin manifest here and took photographs of her. Kazekiel, a being I work a lot with, it's actually Ezekiel and Kasia, whose soul merged and ascended, appeared to a man here by the name of Khan, who comes and teaches. He's more of a Taoist. He's like, he spends 21 days in dark retreats and things like that. And so he can see all these different beings that other people can't. And he photographs them, and he photographed, he got a photograph of Kazekiel, which just is a giant golden light with wings on it, which was interesting. And then he got a picture of Kuan Yin manifesting. And he got two beautiful pictures of Mary appearing here. And then the last picture he took were these about 12 to 14 foot tall feline beings that appeared. And he actually got a photograph of them. So there's a wide variety of beings coming here, and they're all benevolent, and they're all, you know, here to assist in the awakening and healing process. And that's one of the things we do here is we maintain the frequency here. So we do keep those benevolent contacts going.
Wow. Well, I just imagining that when you see something like that and you know that you're wide awake, it's got to be totally life-changing. I mean, how could you ever be the same after you've seen that?
You know, how do you even relate to people after that? It's like, you know, like a lot of the status quo when they come here, they have all these programs going, and, you know, and just dealing with people, you know, like the county and things like that, you know, you would think that they would just be going, oh, my God, you know, masters appearing there. We should really support this and things like that. But you get these kind of religious fanatics, or you get, you know, people that are trying to just maintain, you know, the good old boy network and things like that. And you wonder, you go, how do you even relate to these people, you know, how special this is, or just how incredible this is. They can't even comprehend it. And as a matter of fact, a lot of them are threatened by it.
And how many people do you think would average, you know, in a season that would come to your place?
You know, we kind of did a rough estimate, and it's in the thousands. You know, it's way up there in the thousands, but we don't really, you know, count people or take numbers or anything else. So.
Well, you're not about counting beans and all that. And do they stay in town and they come out for the evening, or do you have, you know, facilities there on the ranch? How does that work?
Well, we have some rooms that are just by donation that people come, and we also have a lot of people come and camp. And camping is preferable because the field that these ships appear in is just wall-to-wall orbs in the field, and people have these spontaneous healings there all the time and connections, and it's just outrageous when you come and camp and you're close to the earth. And we have this beautiful little focus walk that people do where they will do this walk and they just focus on being whole and healthy, you know, just saying, I've always been whole and healthy, or whatever they're trying to manifest. And when they do these walks, a lot of people walk right out of their problem, and it's gone. You know, it's amazing.
Well, I imagine when you add your focus and intent to the electromagnetics that are there by nature, that's going to be very powerful, much more so than if you had the exact same walk on someone else's ranch.
Exactly, and there's all this help here because when you take photographs at night, the you just see wall-to-wall orbs and light spheres here. These higher-dimensional beings are here. So, you know, we've had skeptical people come here at first and had a huge opening and awakening when the ships started coming in and they started seeing all the orbs and ended up with spontaneous healing, you know, of broken bones, of tumors, of all kinds of things have happened. But, you know, the bottom line is between them, it's just a place that really accelerates the awakening and healing process. But it still is up to the individual as to what happens, you know, and how open they are for the experience.
Oh, wow. And I'm just a camping fanatic. I love nothing that I love more than you know, taking the tent in the woods and just being, you know, right? That is just so right up my alley. I was like already making plans. How am I going to get out there?
Yeah. We have real nice bathrooms with showers and everything in them, so it's not that hard camping. It's basically your bag and your tent is something to sleep in, but you know, all the amenities are here.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, because I mean, pioneer camping is okay, but after a few days, you need to return to civilization and to turn into a human again.
Exactly.
Oh, well, now do you have a staff that, because you mentioned about Master Kwan, did you call him?
Yeah, Kwan.
Kwan?
Yeah, we do have a staff here. I don't even like to call them staff. We're more like a family.
Okay.
And I've got some just beautiful people living here that are helping out. on the ranch and doing different things. And also they teach different practices. You know, some teach Bhagwan and Yigong, and we teach self-mastery classes and intersensitivity training classes, just all kinds of things are ongoing. And a lot of times we just, you know, light up the campfire and bring all the drums and flutes and everything else out and just start having fun that way as well. And that really brings the ships in.
Wow. So it's a reciprocation of energy rather than, you know, buying a theater ticket and just going to sit there and say, like, okay, entertain me now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reciprocation.
Yeah, and you know, some people there's just so much activity here. You see some, if you just come here just and start watching the skies, you're going to see things happen. If you want to engage them on an inner level, or if you want to bring them down closer, that's a different story. You know, you have to do your work, and I've seen that the more you do your work, the more you do your healing work and your process oriented therapy and things like that. We do that also here. We have a process where we can take people through and clear out any past lives or birth trauma from age one or any major patterns, and then initiate people into contact with these higher beings. And a lot of people are just rejoining their family, you know, their extended family out there in the universe. And it's just an amazing process, and it's a quantum leap in consciousness. So we do a lot of things that we do here. They're pretty much ongoing. We've slowed down a little bit. We're going to get started up here soon, but it's just you know, everybody's unique and everybody has their own path, and we're very eclectic here. We don't have one path, and we're open to a lot of different paths, looking for the similarities, you know, in each path. And
mm-hmm.
and we don't really participate in paths that distract you from making your own personal God connection.
Right, right. And that's ultimate wisdom. You said that you were returning home tonight from having been at a talk over at Mount
yes.
Shasta. And would you please repeat what you told me when you drove up into the driveway? What happened?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I got in last night, I parked my van and then, you know, grabbed just a couple things out of it and was walking over to we have a tower out here, an observation tower, and set up. It's a really neat place to hang out. And so I came out here and I was putting some stuff away, and I turned around and I walked back to the campfire. I was walking back to the campfire, and then this huge golden ship just powered up and lit up and made a nice turn and went over towards the mountain. And, you know, we had quite a few people here out standing around the campfire, and everybody ran out to see it, you know, and they got to see it. So it was kind of like welcome home. And whenever I go off on these talks or these trips, it seems like as soon as I get back, I go, boy, I hope I did okay on that one. I hope I was of the highest service. And sure enough, I look up and all of a sudden, boom, you know, a ship will just power up and light up and do a little turn.
It's a galactic pat on the back.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's tough being down here on this planet because, you know, there's no real support system. You know, you have a beautiful site here and the blog that you're doing, it's a support system. But, you know, the social consciousness, there really isn't any kind of a support system for your beliefs and energetically as well. So it does beat you up. You know, even the work that I'm doing, it you know, grates on you after a while. And there's times you are really, you know, challenging yourself and your own sanity. You know, is this what I should be doing? I wonder if I should be moving in a different path or whatever. And so it is nice to have that support group up in the sky as well, you know, the little cosmic cheerleader, you know, dropping
right.
down and lighting up and giving you a nice big, it's like a love burst of energy.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, I got this visual of, you know, so there's millions of starseed on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how if you were watching a scary movie and you're walking through and all these hands are coming up out of the ground and they're trying to pull you down, you know,
yeah.
And just all these hands are reaching up for you and they, you know, because you have a lot of light and they want to pull you down in there to eat up your light. And it is, I mean, it's tough to if you have to work especially so many starseed that are, they find themselves in corporate America when they wake up and they're horrified. It's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
gosh, you know, and it is good to know that you know, confirmation coming from you and the work that you're doing that there is a tap, a fountain that you can tap into and get those, get those energy cooties off.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
It does get kind of crazy dealing with social consciousness and, you know, all the rigid belief structures and, you know, those are being torn apart right now because even with all the latest scientific discoveries, you know, that there's something like 500 million planets out there that can support life in this little galaxy that we're looking at, you know, on top of that, because they weren't using the proper telescopes to be looking out there because, you know, planets don't put out much light. Suns, you know, everything you're seeing, all the stars are actually suns, unless it's a planet within our solar system. So, you know, they weren't really seeing what was really out there. And you know, now they're finding out there's, what, something like 500 million planets in these Goldilocks orbits that could support life in this little galaxy. And then you add the numbers on top of that, there's over 500 billion galaxies out there that they know, but it might even be more. Every time they get a bigger telescope, they add more galaxies. So,
right.
you know, you do the math, and then you add the other dimensions into that, and the numbers are just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
They're so overwhelming that I think anybody that would say that we're it and we're the only life form, you know, in this multiverse is probably one of the most uneducated statements I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny in a sad kind of way.
Yeah.
That someone could, I was like, you could actually say that? That you think
yeah.
there are no such, there's no such things as UFOs or ETs. And it's like, well, okay, that'd be your famous last words.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, I had do you have some, like a lake or some water I was visualizing when you were talking and I was seeing that it's like beautiful, clear water. Is it,
mm-hmm.
is that also part of the magic of your property?
Yeah, we do have a couple of really nice ponds, and one we actually go swimming in. And we spend a lot of time over there, and I've had some amazing encounters and actually photographed beams of light coming straight down where I was meditating and surrounding me. We have photographs of that. So there's a beautiful pond here on the property, and we're right on the White Salmon River. So the farm is just adjacent to the river. So there's a lot of water here.
Yeah, well, that really is a very supportive, having especially moving water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very very supportive for the. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean. For the
energetically.
Overall, yeah, the overall energetics of it.
Keeps
yeah.
the negative ions going, and you know they found in Bosnia that. One of the biggest pyramids on the planet they found in Bosnia. And when they went inside of it, they've been excavating it, found it, and it's fully active right now, and they've got a massive beam coming out the top of it. They've been measuring, and then they've been measuring the energies coming out of it and around of it to accelerate plant growth. But when you go inside of the pyramid, it is so full of negative ions. There's no negative radiation there at all. Any kind of negative radiation, it's all negative ions. So it is important to be around, you know, negative ions and be around water, I've always felt. It's just really good for the body, healthy for the body.
Mm-hmm. Very supportive. And I recently, just in the last couple of years, began seeing those, you know, those salt lamps that, have you ever seen one of those?
Yeah, actually I'm looking at one right now as you're talking, it's right in front of me.
And they, I mean, they put off the negative ions, which, you know, waterfalls, moving water, there's several different, you know, ways to I don't say manufacture, but to produce the negative ions, and it's a very healthy thing. And my brother has a salt lamp that he was a gift, and he didn't know, you know, anything about the energetics of it, and he had a corn plant that's 25 years old, and that thing bloomed within a few months of getting that salt lamp. That 25-year-old corn plant, and I mean, it's got to be over 20 feet tall, and it bloomed for the first time in 25 years. So that's how important negative ions are for the ultimate robust and thriving health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I have like three of them right now in my room, and I've been wanting to get one of those little mini waterfall things. You know, I've worked with some incredible scientists. One's got like 9 PhDs, and he talks a lot about the alchemy of creation. And he says, you know, you need all the elements there. You know, you need the water, the wood, the metal, air, you know, all the elements in your space. He said it's so important to have, you know, all the elements there. And I've always thought about that, you know, and tried to, you know, create that and have a lot of plants around and just create a real, real clean environment.
Well, sure, and it's about balance.
Mm-hmm.
In balance in your environment by having all of those energies present, because
definitely.
You know, that's, I mean, balance is the nature of the universe, and anything that's out of balance cannot remain that way, because sooner or later something's going to come along to bring it back to balance, even if it's, you know, over eons of time, it will always come back to balance.
So that's what the Earth is doing right now. She's rebalancing herself and going through a series of, I'm sure you're aware of cymantics, where things go from chaos back to equilibrium and then back to chaos and back to equilibrium. And we're going through a whole series of those processes right now between moving into galactic core and that alignment. We're moving into a highly charged place in the universe. And the sun is bombarding us with neutrinos right now, which is actually changing the nature of mass. So there's so many things going on right now that are putting people through processes, and this huge awakening healing process we're undergoing, that it's not an easy process, but we're going to have to really learn to surrender and take the time necessary to move forward in our own awakening healing process, because the earth is going. I always tell people resistance is futile. You know, the earth is ascending, and if we're going to flow with her, we need to do our homework, you know, and get on with our own process.
That's right. Well, one of my favorite Lavendar sayings is, come now or come later, but you're coming.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is, pretty much what you just said. And it's going to happen, and it'd be much easier if you just go with the flow, because you can't, trying to resist these changes and holding on to a decadent, out of balance society is, yeah, you're right, it is completely futile.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Lavendar, do you have some questions or ideas that you want to exchange with James?
Well, yes, James, I was curious to know, you said that some people come to the ranch and they have healings, people that have, like, cancer and different. Can you give us a story of something that's happened with someone that came there that was, you know, life-threatening, or something that you could pass on to us about what you've witnessed yourself?
Yes, there's several things that happened here. One is that one guy had very serious bleeding ulcers and a tumor and all these other problems going on, and he actually checked himself out of the hospital and left against their wishes, and got him a cab and paid his cab fare all the way up here, and he was so committed, he knew in his mind that he would be taken care of up here, that they couldn't do anything for him. and it was kind of interesting. And he didn't have anything. He didn't have a tent or anything. And he got here, and he was just so committed. And, you know, we got him a tent and got him a sleeping bag and set him all up. And, you know, he went back, and he called us up, and he goes, "You're not going to believe this. My doctors can't figure out what happened. Everything's gone. You know, everything's healed." And he said, "I'm going to get all the data and get it together and write a testimony and everything else," which was really nice. And then another woman here had a serious thyroid problem where her thyroid was totally shut down. And she was taking her medication and getting all spaced out and having a lot of severe problems. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her thyroid was working perfectly. And she had to get off her medication. The medication was causing problems. So,
wow.
We've had broken bones, men, you know, a guy with a broken wrist, it seems like it just mended overnight. And a lot of things like that happen here. And, you know, but I want to put a little disclaimer out there. You know, it's like it doesn't happen for everyone. It depends on your frame of mind, your openness. A lot of people are so locked into their program or their mental state, they can't even accept the healing. And so it doesn't, you know, it's really between the person and spirit what happens here. You know, but I've just seen a lot of major healings happen here. And I always tell people I don't take credit or blame for the healing. You know, it's between them and spirit. And in a lot of the self-mastery classes and in the counseling sessions, after we clear away the major blocks and patterns on the other levels, the physical usually catches up, you know. But, you know, a lot of times you won't heal. If there's a pattern existing on the next level up, your physical body isn't going to heal until that other pattern is taken care of. And that pattern could have happened in a past life. It could have happened childhood trauma. It could have happened anywhere. And until those patterns are healed up, you know, your physical body is just a hard copy of your mental, emotional, and astral body. And above that is your etheric body, which is your whole and healthy, you know, perfect incarnation. So it's a matter of clearing out the garbage and understanding the vibrational continuum that this physical reality here isn't really physical. You know, it's just a projection from the higher levels. And once you clean up the mess in between, you know, it can heal itself and straighten out.
Let me ask you about the animals in the area. Do they seem to be more in tune, and do you have any animal stories that you could share with us, you know, where maybe there might be an overshadow or a walk-in energy that comes and participates with an animal there?
Yeah, I have photos on my website of my dog with lasers coming out of his eyes going up to an orb, a big light sphere in the sky, which is pretty bizarre, and his eyes light up like bright gold. You know, brilliant gold energy coming out of his eyes. We have a cat that does similar things here on the ranch as well. And we've had a lot of, most farmers here, when they lose their cows and things like that, they always come here. They feel the energy and they come, they show up here, and we have to call them to come get their animals. But I noticed one thing is when the ships are here, when we're out skywatching, the coyotes just go nuts. They all start howling, and the birds start singing at night. And that's one of the ways we know that the ships are around, you know, the energy's around, because they're very sensitive, and they pick it up.
Wow. Wow, so the birds, when they should be sleeping, they're heralding the arrival.
Exactly. And also, too, if you just take a camera here and start shooting pictures, you'll start seeing all these things appear on your camera, on your film, that you didn't even know were there. And it happens with emulsion film and digital both. I start showing orbs and light spheres and all kinds of things.
You've got some really great photography captures on your website,
yes,
which, again, everybody is
eceti.org. So we have some callers, and if you think, let me just see. Yeah, we could be taking callers if we have any more questions, Lavendar, from you or from Sierra.
I have one question. You were talking about the cat people.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? That really interests me. I'm, of course, you know, I'm the cat woman. So it's like I really want to know what you know about the beings that come from the planet where there's lots of cats.
Yeah, there's they come from the Sirius system, and most of them are, the ones we've seen are fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional beings. And the one that I engaged was a fifth dimensional feline, and they're very, very beautiful. They have big eyes, very beautiful. She has golden fur. She walked upright, you know, and they have tails. And, you know, when Khan saw them, this Japanese monk, when he saw them, it was funny what he said. He said, he goes, so holy, just beautiful energy. And then he goes, sexy body, you know. So it was really funny because the way they move, they're very graceful. Their tails are flowing back and forth, and they're just so loving. It's just amazing, the beings that I've experienced. And they used to call them Nakshringa in the ancient Vedic scriptures, and they were called the benevolent protectors. And they used to pray to them when the villages needed protection against bandits and things of that nature.
How tall is that being that you're talking about?
Her name's Bagheet, is her name, and she's probably the same. I'm a little over 5'10", just under 5'11", and she's probably about the same height I am, maybe a little shorter, not much. The other one, now the six dimensional ones are about 12 to 14 feet tall. And I'm not sure how tall the lion-head ones. They're very tall. They're very big.
Are you able to have contact with, say her name one more time. Do you have contact with her often, or was it just that one time?
No. Bagheet's been with me ever since we first connected, and we have a kind of an ongoing telepathic relationship. There's another one by the name of Blaji that's a Palladian that I work with, and she's about 2 million years ahead of us in evolution, coming back in time. So she's like a master teacher that's evolved 2 million years, coming back in time. She's about 430 years old, but she looks about 25. You know, so, and she's just sweet, just beautiful energy.
Wow.
No, there's another one I wanted to talk about that would validate some of the things that you were saying earlier. Lavendar was saying is that there's one by the name of Plumaria that appeared to me. And I was talking to her, and I said, where did you get your name? I said, Plumaria is a flower here. And she said that her father created it. And,
wow.
And she said they created a lot of the genetics here, and a lot of the plants and the animals and everything were all brought here. And she said he was famous for a lot of the flowers and the genetic work on flowers.
That's great.
And did you ever say that they brought chocolate?
Yeah, there's a lot about chocolate. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if it, you know, whoever formulated chocolate kind of knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we open up the call lines and see if we have some questions?
We do. We do. We have, let's see, Claudia. Claudia, you are on the air, and I understand that you have actually been to James's ranch.
Yes, I have. Claudia, this is Claudia Way, James.
Yes.
I had been up there quite a few years back, and James had given me a reading, a regression, and he had found out I was from Orion. And when he explained what happened on Orion to me, I remember just crying and crying, and it was such a release. And after that happened, it was a healing. It was an immense healing. And I remember being on the land, and the land is it's like it's blessed. It's sacred. And I remember seeing the picture from Mary. I think that picture was taken not too long after I had been on the land. And it's so unbelievable. It has rays of light and the whole body of Mary in it. And it was just trees and bushes there.
And she
appeared in it. It was amazing. But the questions I have for you, James, now, because I haven't seen you, God, in, I don't know, what is that, 12, 14? It's been a long time, but since you're talking to the Pleiadians, and well, you always have been all the way through, what are they saying for us to do to help out with this awakening and the changes and the shift in the consciousness? What are they saying for us to do to be able to help?
Well, basically what they've been saying is that they really, you know, they've been really cheering us on, saying, hang on, you know. They talk almost biblical. They talk about God. They said God is a frequency and a force, and that force is returning. And they said love is the ultimate power and love heals, and that we need to align with that energy as much as possible in our own lives and help anchor that energy in, and then they can work through us. And they talk about that we have the ability to channel the full power of God through us, or the power of love through us in any situation, and transmute that situation. At the same time, they say that, you know, we are definitely going to be challenged, and we need to stand tall in these times and hold on to those base universal principles, you know, which is brother, sister, love, and individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. But just the base God rights, you might say, or God-given rights that every human should have. So, you know, peace and freedom and things of that nature, we need to really hold on to that now and demand it of our leadership as well on every level. And to just tell them enough's enough, you know, just stop the wars, stop the manufactured lack, you know, stop all this greed program, stop the destruction of the planet. And we need to unify and come together as one planet, one people, and transcend, you know, the cultural and religious boundaries that we've been dealing with, and start seeing each other as spirits, you know, that are all connected through source.
Exactly. Well, you know, I wanted to say I'm a cheerleader for you. I know how hard you've worked, you know, and how much you've done through the years. It's just amazing, you know, you with all your documentaries and your speeches, videos. And do you still go to the UFO conferences?
You know, I haven't been to a UFO conference in quite a while, and only because it just got so convoluted there. And their focus, yeah, their whole focus, it seems like, has moved towards, you know, nuts and bolts and victims, and it's all ugly and conspiracy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the love is just gone. I mean, there is no... They've pretty much slammed the door on the higher vibrational beings and entities and won't even go there anymore. So there's really no point in even in being there. And even though that we have probably the most documented UFO hotspot on the planet, you know, the History Channel, that's what they said. They said this is one of the best hotspots on the planet. You know, they still refuse to acknowledge it. And at the same time, we have... you know, when we put Contact Has Begun out, it went on Netflix right away, and it also got 23 million hits, you know, in the first couple of weeks. So you know, there's a huge group out there that wants this information, and they pretty much closed the door on it. So it's sad, but a lot of the major UFO groups have been infiltrated by, you know, a lot of military intelligence and New World Order, you know, CFR people, things like that, or they're taking money from these guys, and they don't want this kind of information to be getting out there.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know, I do remember being on your land, and I remember laughing so hard I couldn't stop. I mean, the energy,
yeah.
The energy was so incredible. I don't know if you remember that, James. You know,
yeah, we do.
It's been a long time. Oh, my God. It is incredible out there. That's what I called in to say was when it was out there. It was just amazing. Everything he's saying is true. It's there. It's real. And I would encourage anybody to go out and just experience it one time. And that's what really why I called James.
Oh, thank you.
And it's nice to hear your voice and to see that you're still doing your work, you know, really proud of
you. Oh, you too.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to come visit us again.
Yeah, I will. All righty. Thanks, James.
Thank you for calling, Claudia. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, it's interesting. I think I read somewhere a long time ago that your vibration is never higher than when you're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the higher your vibration goes, laughter just goes with it. That's why laughter is the best medicine. And it just
exactly.
clicked in. It's like, oh, that makes sense to me now. Uh-huh. When your vibration shoots up that high, you can't help but laugh. Because
oh, definitely, yeah. We have self-master classes here, and then I did the workshop in Hawaii with a very large group. It was only supposed to be 40 people, and I think about 100 ended up showing up. And so I initiated as many people as I could, but you'd see these, you know, grown men and burly men, and I'd do the initiation. All of a sudden, they just start laughing and laughing uncontrollably. And they go, God, I needed that, you know. And they would try to interview them afterwards, say, well, what'd that feel like? And they couldn't even talk. They couldn't talk on the mic. So it is. Ezekiel, the other higher beings call Ezekiel the God of eternal bliss. And so, you know, if anybody wants to attune to that and meditate and call Ezekiel in, you know, feel free. You know, these beings, like Mary, they're all universal beings. And they're not owned by any church or any establishment or anything else. So they're all just waiting in the wings for us to ask, you know, to initiate the process and connect in with them.
And that's the only way they can, is with our request and permission, because
exactly.
they don't interfere.
No, no, we have to kind of earn it.
Yeah, well, we have to be on the right frequency, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a matter of being in tune or not. You know, if your instrument is so far out of tune, they're not going to let you into the orchestra. You have to be in tune.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you can play.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, a lot of the kind of heavy metal discordant music will actually kill plants. And so you can imagine an extremely sensitive person being around that frequency, they just go, I got to get out of here, you know. And that's kind of what our frequencies do to them, you know, if we haven't really worked on our own process and, you know, cleaned up the past, and we're holding on to all those old wounds and traumas and sadness and sorrow and grief and frustration and anger. It's very toxic, and especially to be around them. Like one guy came up with this really bad attitude, and he said, well, you know, prove to me these are real. He said, call a ship down so I can get on the ship and go for a ride and things like that. And I told him, why would I call a ship down for you? I said, I don't even want you in my own living room. You know, why would they? You know, I was just straight up with him. You know, I said, you know, you've got such a bad attitude. I wouldn't even want you in my own living room. And they're a lot more advanced than I am. So why would they, you know? Really funny, because it just, you know, the arrogance and the demanding and everything else just doesn't work.
Yeah. It's like, why would you want to prove yourself?
Yeah.
Why would you have
they don't
to?
They don't need to prove themselves to anybody.
Right. Sierra, do you have a question?
No, I'm just completely fascinated by the cat people. You know, I have a walk-in experience that is pretty fascinating, and it's a lot of telepathy, communication, and seen a lot of shifts and been on board. But to actually experience them in the third dimension is just mind-boggling. I think that would be absolutely amazing. So you're probably going to see me on your land here within the next 6 months, because I'm coming.
Great. All right. So they did land in Mexico, and They were on the ground for a long time in Mexico, and the people were afraid of them. And they saw them out walking around their ship and just doing all kinds of things, and nobody greeted them. And they were there for almost, I'm not sure how many hours. It was quite a long time, and everybody was afraid to even go near him or greet them, and then they took off. But the there was another sighting of a ship that flew right next to an airliner, and the airline pilot was talking about it. And he said this thing was massive, and it was just matching them. And then he said he started hearing all this over his radio. He started hearing all this communication. And it sounded like cats talking. But,
like cats?
Yeah, he said that. He said the only thing I can say is it sounded like a cat language or something. The way he was hearing it. He said that was the first thing I got was like a cat. Cats trying to communicate or something. And, you know, he said I couldn't understand what it was about, but he said it sounded like cats. So there are a lot of occurrences recently where they are around, and they do seem to be moving around a lot. Now, one of the things they told me, too, is that the Jerusalem sighting, the Dome of the Rock, they said that, you know, they work with all the other groups. It's like a federation type thing. But they said it was the pilots on that was one of them was a feline, and what they said they did was that they changed the whole energy of the Dome of the Rock and also the Wailing Wall as well. And they said because the energy is so psychometrized in there of grief and sadness and religious dogma and everything else, that the energy was so heavy there that they had to go and change that frequency. And I think if they didn't do that, there would probably be nature would come in and create a huge, massive earthquake, you know, in that area to change the frequencies or change the energy. So they're doing a lot of work on our behalf, and you know, we need to start being a little grateful for that and acknowledging it and even inviting more of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, James, that I have to ask, are the third dimensional, you know, house cats that we have, are they genetic experiments from the felines?
You know, I would not be surprised. They are pretty interesting. And I noticed with animals, if you treat an animal as equally, it's amazing the interactions you can have with an animal. But if you see them as less than just a dumb animal or whatever else, and you project that onto them, a lot of them are very subjective and they'll act that out. But, you know, my dog is so outrageous here. You know, people come to the ranch to see my dog. You know, they go, I didn't come see you. I came to see your dog. And he's a healer. You know, he's actually part blue healer, but he has this incredible healing ability. Even with other dogs, I've seen him, you know, healed dogs that were a little schizophrenic and everything else, and they just calm down in his presence and actually want to play with him where they would never play with other dogs. You know, it's kind of interesting. But I see over and over, you know, your animals, it's so important not to project any illnesses on them. You know, don't worry about them if they're limping a little bit. It's like, you know, it's very, very important to project, you know, seeing them as totally whole and healthy. And they'll stay that way.
Well, that's great. We have some more callers here for you. Let me go through the switchboard here. We have, Mr. Nick, you are on the air.
Hey, how are you all? Lavendar, nice to talk to you again. I wanted to say that I have been to James's ranch probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And although it wasn't spectacular, we sure saw some ships going in and out of the mountain. And it was a great experience. And also very interesting, I don't know if this still happens, James, but that night when the ship showed up, there was a bunch of military planes showed up too.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that in Annapolis one time when we had a UFO sighting, and sure enough, the ships came up there. Basically, I guess they were picking them up and trying to discourage them to get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just did a documentary up here with the map makers, and in that documentary, it shows this beautiful ship flying in really low, about half treetop level, a very large ship. And this jet, definitely a military jet, came in just, you know, afterburners going right towards it. And then it disappeared. The jet totally just disappeared. And you can hear all of us going, where'd the jet go? You know, what happened, you know, after the, and then following that, the next day, we were teaching a self-mastery class, I believe, and these three black, it looked like F-15s or F-16s, we weren't sure, no markings on them whatsoever, came right over the ranch, very low, just treetop level. I mean, I could see the guy's face. He turned, and his canopy was looking right down on me, and I was on the second story here, but... and they went over, and then they turned around and made another pass again and then moved on. And they got that on film, so they actually filmed it. So, yeah, that's a pretty common thing, not just jets, but black helicopters too as well.
Yeah, well, that happened the night I was there. So, but there's another thing I wanted to ask you about. You may not remember me. I was a patent attorney, and I can remember sitting in your living room talking with you, and we were talking about there's some type of healing device that was being created down in Eugene, I think at the University of Oregon, and we talked about the possibility of doing some patent work on it and never followed up on it. And so I was just wondering if anything ever happened with that kind of stuff.
You know, what happened is all of that stuff was created, and they also created, they crystallized oxygen at room temperature, which is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get. It also, you know, cancer's anaerobic, it hates oxygen, and so if you raise your oxygen levels in your body pH, it backs it out.
Sure.
But that, and he had a magnetic light table and some other things, and, you know, what happened is that got into a whole lot of trouble for having that and some other fieldless energy technologies. And most of that trouble has been taken care of, and it's getting ready to come out again. So it was a matter of coming out probably a little before its time and just experiencing a lot of heat, and it all got shut down, and it's getting ready to come out again. So when they're ready to... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've run into that with some of the other stuff I've done. I've kind of done a little bit of you know, what I would characterize as alternative healing stuff and energy devices. And because, you know, a lot of that, they don't want to get out. There's so many patents that have been kept in secret in the patent office under the guise of national security it's mind-boggling. But
well, anything
anyway,
that's going to cut into the profits of the oil company or the pharmaceutical company is going to be looked at with some very dim eyes, you might say.
Well, I don't work full time anymore. But if anything like that comes up, I might be your guy to be able, because I certainly understand. I understand what the way things like that work, and I'm not your average attorney.
Okay. Yeah, well, send us an email with that topic, you know, about that, and we'll stay in touch.
I'll do that. Yeah, I've got your website, and I'll send that out. All right, well,
great.
Again, I just want to support you and support your facility up there. In fact, I'm going to be in Oregon in October, and I've been meaning to go back up there. I think this year I'm going to do it. Sounds like you've really gotten a whole lot of great stuff going on there. It'd be nice to be a part of. All right, thank you so much.
You ever do land patents?
No.
Okay, I was just curious.
No, that's a different field altogether.
Yeah. All right.
Mine are basically inventions and stuff.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thanks, Nick. Good to hear you again.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Nick has known Lavendar for over 25 years, and we call him the Tesla attorney.
Great guy.
Yeah. So we have a lot of callers. I want to just say that we have a almost record amount of callers on the switchboard. So we are going to try to get to as many questions as we can in the time that we have left. So I want to take the callers who have questions on topic, okay? If your question is off topic, it's not likely that we're going to be able to pick up for you tonight. Here is from Area 734, Kimba.
Yes.
Hello, you're on the air. Do you have a
Hi.
Question for James? Hi.
Hi, James.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Did I say your name right?
Yes, you
Kimba.
Did, Kimba.
Kimba, okay.
You know, remember the old show, Kimba the White Lion?
Huh.
A feline humanoid.
Oh, yeah.
I find it fascinating. I seem to feel that, and I was wondering if you felt the same way, that some star seeds are more feline humanated humanoids than other beings.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're finding that out on a regular
basis.
That,
well, from my perspective, the eyes of a cat and the hearing of a cat are more perceptive than most
mm-hmm.
things. So they're like a stronger drawing energy force to help blend the crystalline grid system that I know about. And I don't know if you know about that, but...
Yeah, they're all working with the grid right now. They're completely changing the grid, and the old grid, you know, of tyranny and separation and greed is falling
right.
apart right now. So it's they're very involved in that.
Right, I understand all that, and it's very amazing what you have been doing on your ranch. And I said to myself, I said, I should go there, and then I got prompted and said, no, you need to stay grounded where you're at and do your work here. So
yeah.
It's wonderful what you're doing out there, and I choose to remain here and do my work here. And
okay.
It's very comforting to know all that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause most people, not many people mention the felines, humanoids.
No, they don't, and they don't. And we've been talking about them for quite a few years and had them on our website, and it was amazing to see movies like Avatar come out with the felines, and then actually they had a couple felines on Doctor Who as well.
Oh yeah, I watched Doctor Who.
Yeah, we don't have a TV. I just heard about it, but I'd love to see that episode.
Oh, it's wonderful. They're kind of like caretakers, if you will.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
helping take care of things and guide it the right way. And
good.
I believe in that. I truly do,
yeah.
And it's wonderful what you're doing there, and I appreciate all your comments and wonderful work, and I will let somebody else talk now. So,
hey.
Well,
no,
thank
the
you
caretaker,
so
yeah, the caretaker thing is they are major protectors, and the Pleiadians were talking about how the Earth was really established to be an Eden where people could evolve to their highest potential here. And it's a massive genetic zoo, and it wasn't meant to go in the direction it's gone into. And they're actually resetting it, and they said it is going to return, but it's going to be
quite
a problem.
That is correct. I truly believe in that. My birthday is 12366, which is 666, Tame the
yeah.
Beast, and I equal 9. 9 is completion. I'm a numerologist, too, so
okay.
9 is completion, and that's what 12-12-12 is, and then 12-21-12 is the activation code of the grids. It's simple
okay.
to me.
Yeah.
It's right in front of my eyes, and I'm glad you're doing all you can to do what you do. And I love
thanks.
You guys. And I love RC Radio and you guys.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Kim, and we do appreciate you calling in. And thank you for being where you are, because we all need to be spread out. We can't all be on James's ranch all the time.
That's
a nice place to visit. Nice place.
We gotta ground with Mother Earth and take care of her
uh-huh.
too. So
that's
our job
right.
and our duty.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They
thank you.
Tell me that too. They tell me I want to go here and there, and they go, nope, you need to stay where you're at right now and take care
that's-
of business. So.
Uh-huh.
So it happens.
Many,
quite
many,
often.
many have already traveled to the places they needed to go to activate things. So
it's
everybody has their missions, and we've been doing it, and we're working on it.
Exactly.
Great.
Well, thanks for calling, Kimba, and thanks for listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'm looking for questions on topic. We're going to talk to, Mr. Ralph. Mr. Ralph, you are on the air. Hi, sweetie.
Good evening. How are you? Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Just a wonderful program. And James, I really appreciate you and the work that you're doing. I had an experience with the MUFON meeting, the one and only one that I went to when I first got involved with the truth movement, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of searching. I thought it was going to be an enlightening situation. And when I got there, it was at a library here in Atlanta. And it was the energy there was so dark and drabby. I really kind of got turned off by it, and it was full of folks who were kind of debunking. They were busy debunking every contention of sightings and so forth. And that's totally what I didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
In that group, so I totally agree with what your assessment of the of those meetings, and they didn't want to talk about disclosure at all. I had a question though about the felines. You said they were fifth and sixth, seventh dimensional beings.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get it straight about the light bodies on that level. I didn't realize they took form above fifth dimension. So I guess I'm wrong in that assessment. Is that correct?
No, not really. They what happens is it's a long story, but here at the ranch, people are actually vanishing in the classes. They actually disappear and then reappear and things of that nature, because it's a vortex here. And so the veils between dimensions are very, very thin. So they can appear here. They don't appear in a really hard physical form, but they can appear here to people, and especially when you're meditating. They'll meet you halfway and connect with you. We have had physical one-on-one experiences here as well with ships that were metallic, you know, when they were powered down, but then when they powered them back up, they were just basically light ships. So that is going on too. But here you can actually, the best way to explain it is that if I'm vibrating in the fifth dimension, everything is physical there to me, just like it would be physical here on the third dimension. So they have the ability to drop down and become less dense physical, and I can actually rise up as well and become less dense physical and greet them halfway and have experiences of that nature. And we have a lot of photographs of people in the teacher's training classes or the self-mastery classes or the Yigong workshops where the people are just phasing out. And you know, 1 minute they're sitting in their chair and all of a sudden you can see right through them and then they're gone.
Well, that's awesome. I was on your site watching, looking at some of the photos with Master Quan, Khan?
Yeah, Khan, yeah.
And saw several series of photos of him kind of going, vanishing, I guess, different states of physical presence. And it's just, that's just awesome to me.
Oh, yeah, and he has a lot of funny stories about bilocation. You ought to ask him about if you ever... where he's actually bilocated and ended up under like 4 or 5 feet of snow. And, you know, trying to get it down when he first started bilocating and having these experiences, he couldn't get back to where he came from and, you know, went from Japan to China to a monastery there and ended up under the snow and just all kinds. It's really funny, you know, some of the experiences that he's had.
One more real quickie, if you don't mind. Is
sure.
that okay, Labrador?
Just go ahead.
More. you said that the feline were doing something to help Lady Gaia kind of transcend or repair the magnetosphere.
Yes.
I believe, is that what you said?
Well, there's an energetic grid on the planet, and what they're doing is they're helping to transcend the energy that's been psychometrized into the ground, into the land in certain areas that are holding a very dense, rigid consciousness or belief system, you might say. Because especially stone and metal hold energy and they hold consciousness. And so sometimes you have to come in and change the frequencies of certain things just to help the rest of the planet adjust, you know, to the new grid, which is a whole new grid, a higher consciousness and energy grid.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for your time and a wonderful show.
No problem.
Thank you, Ralph. We appreciate your calling in. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to check in with our chat room and see about questions from there. But Lavendar, can you come on? And I have to look through a whole lot of calls to find the right number, so go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk about, you had a special gathering with a lot of different speakers. When was that? Last summer?
Yes, the July 4th conference.
Yes. Are you going to have that again this year?
Yes, we're going to have it June 24th. We're going to have a gathering, and people just need to call or email us to find out. It's not up on the website. And the last one was interesting. We did an intention experiment with about 250 people involved in it, and we went through a meditation, kind of opened up a vortex, and everybody just felt the energy. It was phenomenal. And then after the experiment, we walked outside and we had a beautiful pink-orange ship fly right over the conference building. And the guest speakers at that conference were like Dolores Cannon and Mary Rodwell and Brooke Bagnew, a physicist. Renato Longato was there. There was a couple physicists there that actually filmed the ship and as well as all the other people pulling out their cell phones and getting photographs. So John Riley, actually a Lockheed engineer, got some really good footage of it as well.
So what speakers do you have that are coming this time?
I've got Bob Dean, you know, Robert Dean. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves you know, Robert Dean. And he had the highest top secret clearance, and he comes and kind of connects the higher consciousness and energy to the UFO field and brings a lot of credibility to it. And we've got Michael Pellinger, who is working on Adam's calendar and the original landing pad of Enki and Enlil, the Anunnaki. And he has all that information. He's working a lot on creating a whole different system that's more aligned with spiritual values and things of that nature. I don't have the lineup with me, but there's several others that are on the website that we can, you know, people call or just send us an email. You know, go to eseti.org and just send us an email. We'll send you all the information.
So do you have a lot of motels around that area?
There are. There's motels around the area, and Hood River's not too far away. It's only about a 20-minute drive away, and there's a lot of hotels in Hood River or White Salmon or you know, around there. There's some. Most of bed and breakfasts here are already booked up.
For those who don't like
well,
to camp,
I know
right?
A lot of callers are probably going to want to show up at Trout Lake Ranch where you are. So
yeah.
You know, I'm just very excited that this place is available to people to come and have these experiences. And thank you so much for all the work you've done all these years and the filming and being open and being who you are. You gave me your birth information, and I am going to do your chart and look at some of your star markings because I know that you have some. Ariel, I think you looked. I think you saw that he did have some. I haven't had a chance to look at your chart yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was no surprise.
Okay.
No surprise.
It's funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to check
because
in.
The connection that the different beings that I've been connecting with, they've been, like the Palladians keep telling me, I'm an old Palladian warrior, and it takes that kind of consciousness just to deal with, you know, the energies here right now. And as I've been connecting up with all these higher beings, you know, sometimes it gets harder and harder to deal with everyday life here on Earth, you know, but I think eventually it's, you know, one of the things they keep saying, well, you weren't, that's why you came, you know, to bring heaven to Earth, not to you know, want to get out of here. So I think if we just wait long enough, it's not too much further out where this whole system of tyranny and greed and againstness and all these other programs are going to run their course real soon and implode on themselves.
Mm-hmm. They have to. they're down spiral, and you can,
yeah.
You know, pretty soon you're going to hit the bottom. We do have,
exactly.
I've got to check in with the chat room and see if we have any questions from our chat room listeners. Mystic, you are on the air. Do we have questions?
We have a ton of questions. I tell you, the chat room has just been buzzing. Folks have been saying consistently this is one of the best shows ever. And, of course, we have well over 100 people in the room this evening. It's just there's a lot of activity. James, there are so many questions. Let me just start off with the first one. There was a lot of interest around wanting to understand whether or not, in your experience, there seems to be a heightened number of events that take place as you draw closer to Pleiadian lineup, and if not, when do you see there being more of a trend in terms of heightened activity?
Oh, as far as that's already started, they've already kicked it up exponentially, and you know, the ships are showing up all over the world right now. If you just go Google 2011, you know, UFOs, you'll be on there for days. But yeah, it's already happened. It's happening exponentially. And I've always said, you know, the disclosure projects that people are working on are fine, but the real disclosure is going to come from the skies on their terms when they're ready or they think we're ready. And to me, it's also, you know, everybody goes, when, you know, they keep asking us, when are we going to have contact or whatever? And we've had contact here. I've had it all my life, and we've had it intensely here for the past 10 years and fully documented it, you know, with tons of footage. And we have hours and hours and hours of footage of ships landing and bilocating and turning into three and back to one again. So, you know, the History Channel, even Fox News with Hannity covered it. And so it's all over the Internet and, as I said, the movies and everything else. So we've got to drop that program of when is it going to happen. It's already happening for those who want to look into it and do their own research. It's happening now.
Do you, sort of along the lines of what you just mentioned a moment ago, people asking when is this going to happen, what is going to happen, there was quite a bit of discussion in the chat room around wondering, have you personally or people close to you on your ranch had any messages or any information that you can share that you may have received, you know, from the Pleiadians or elsewhere, with regard specifically to a 2012 event, Earth changes, Planet X, or anything particularly related to the future for humanity?
Definitely. I think one of the things that people really need to research is this comet element. And JPL has some graphs on it when it comes through. And every time this comet has lined up with the Earth and the Sun, we've had a major earthquake or disaster. And it's like clockwork, and a lot of university professors are starting to speak about it, even though they're being censored. So whatever this object is that's coming in, it's much, much bigger, it seems, than they say. And when you go to the coordinates to see where they say it is, it's blocked out. you know, you can't
right.
find it. And that's, I think that's a little interesting. So basically, I would really pay attention. There's several dates that we need to look at very seriously. And this object starts coming in I think it's in June. I had it written down. I don't have the dates with me right now. It comes in June. And then September is when it swings between us and the sun. And it goes right in between us. And that ties into those 3 days of darkness, you know, and then 12 days of light afterwards. So October 17th is when there's another alignment as it's moving out. And then November 5th, we go through the debris field of this object. And so it's, and then it's on its way out. You know, it moves on its way out. So that's tying into these 11,000, you know, 700-year cycles where we've had major events happening. And they also talk about the Mayan calendar, that they actually gave, the Pleiadians gave that calendar to the Mayans. And Carlos Barrios is the first one. He's one of the major Mayan elders, and he stated clearly that the Pleiadians gave him that calendar. So the ninth wave that just came through in March, I think ninth, that was a major shift that happened. And, you know, you look what happened right after that. We had the big Japan earthquake. And so there's we need to really start doing some research into this and not get into fear or doom and gloom, but start paying attention to you know, nature. I tell people the main thing we need to do right now is everybody needs to make their own personal God connection or develop their own inner guidance and get in touch with nature and just honor your feelings, you know, your gut feelings. Feel the land that you're on, feel where you're supposed to be, and kind of get out of the social conscious monkey mind and start paying attention to what's happening around you. And that's mainly what they've been saying, is that there's just going to be a major shift and a lot of cleanup going on between now and 2012. But the good news is, on the other side, is when all the Lakota prophecies, the Cherokee prophecies, all of them talk about how we're going to join the Star Nations, and they're going to come in and help us to totally clean up the planet and rebalance everything out. And it'll happen very quickly after that. So it's just, you know, a really good idea to pay attention if you're guided, you know, to take care of your physical needs and move off the coast and things like that. It might be a good idea. And, you know, a lot of it's up to, you know, each individual as to, you know, where they're going to be in these processes. And I also realize, too, that some people are just not here to awaken. They're not here for this process. And that's okay. You know, we're all eternal beings. But mainly that's their message. Their whole message almost always is just focused on love, connect to the source, and love heals, and love's the ultimate power, and not get into all the separation games and not be too attached, you know, to your material surroundings and people, places, right, and things, and you know, go with the flow, basically.
You know, and I can honestly tell you, I know that the great majority of people who are attending this show really resonate with what you were just saying about removing themselves from the more physical or material pieces and shifting more into a love mode. Ariel, do we have time for any more questions from the chat room? Because I've got a ton of them.
Okay. Yeah, we only have a few minutes, so just, you know, let's do what we can and keep going. I'll let you know when time's up.
Okay, perfect. There was another question that someone had asked. They wanted to know if you had ever met any beings from Alpha Centauri or Alpha Aries.
You know, I haven't. I haven't met any beings. I've met some beings, but I didn't even know where they're from, and they didn't even tell me where they're from. And I've seen these beings like the clarions, and that are coming to certain people, and beings like that. And one was I thought she was a little girl, you know, but she turned out to be much, much older. But she looked so young, that she just looked like a little girl, but she had all this beautiful light around her and in her eyes. And I'm not sure how old she was, but her wisdom was phenomenal. You know, things of that nature I've seen. And some of the beings, they don't really tell me where they're from. I've seen beings with huge heads wearing brown robes, very ancient. And they're kind of scary looking, but they're not, there's nothing malevolent about them. They're very, if you saw them, you'd freak out and probably run, most people. But if you attuned to them on an intersensitivity level, you'd find out they're very loving and very ancient and very wise. So
fantastic.
I've just seen so many different types of beings, and a lot of the inner earth beings I've seen. And, you know, I've seen, you know, a lot of people laugh at the gnomes and fairies, but they do exist. You know, they're just outside of our frequency. And we actually have photographs of them, you know, appearing at the ranch as well.
I actually had an experience several years ago where, following a really unique experience, friends and I were able to see them. You know, it was a pretty amazing experience. Let me ask you this. Another one of our listeners wanted to know, do you have any recommendations, given your unique perspective, on how people can be more conscious in their dream state, and in that dream state, how they can be more discerning of whether or not the information that's coming to them is more egocentric versus something that is of truth and consciousness?
Mm-hmm. That is a tough one. We teach a lot of that here. We teach safeguards for pure channeling and getting clear information. And one of the things we need to really watch out for is that when you go into the astral level, anything goes. I mean, there are some pretty gross beings there, and you've got some grays and reptilians and things like that, fourth-dimensional beings, that you really need to be discerning and learn how to heal unseen negative influences if you're going to go play in those realms. We go beyond. We work mainly with the fifth, sixth, and seventh-dimensional beings. So I would say, you know, in the books, Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods on the website, I have all that information in there on how to heal and stay clear, you know, of those situations. And also, too, is that beware of faker spirits. When they tell you that you're the one, you know, you're the chosen one, and when they play any kind of a separation game that boosts the ego, we call them faker spirits, or they use flattery, you know, be very wary of that. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of people go off the deep end with that, and thinking there's some incarnation of some major being, you know. And the people that are really incarnations of major beings are usually very humble. You know, they don't need the recognition. They don't need the you know, they're not looking for followers or anything else. That's just not their program.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. There is another question here wanting to know if you know anything on thorium as a new potential energy source.
I've heard something about it. One thing I know is that we don't need any kind of fuel anymore. We haven't needed any fuel for a long time, and I've actually held devices in my hand in the past that, you know, some were the size of a small pie plate, you know, with nine coils that generate, you know, 25,000 watts each coil. And they're also counter gravity. So that being said, you know, there's technologies out there that, you know, a lot of people are looking at the helium, was it helium-3, all these things on the moon as new sources of energy. We really don't need any fuel whatsoever. If we start releasing, you know, the anti-gravity and the counter-gravity technologies that we have now.
Fantastic.
Well, I think this is a good place to conclude because we only have a few minutes left. And if you have a question that was not answered, I'm sure that you can go on James's site, which is www.eceti.org. That's ECETI.org, and there's also there are books. There's the new video that came out is all available there on his website. So I'm sure you can feel free to dig around and see what you resonate with. And thank you so much, Mystic, for bringing those questions to us. We'd like to thank everyone in the chat room for joining us, and hope that you do tell your friends about Starseed Radio Academy. And I'm going to get Sierra and Lavendar back, because we only have a few moments, and we just do want to say hi and bye. Lavendar, where are you?
I'm right here.
Okay.
Well, this has been one of the most interesting shows we've had, and I'm just thrilled that you have brought this information to us, and I hope that we stay in contact, because we want to be able to network with you and help you any way that we can, James.
Great. I can't thank you enough for bringing me on the show, and it is, we all need to network right now and join together and you know, lift this planet up to where it's supposed to be, you know, and take its rightful place back to Eden.
Right. Well, I think that your suggestion about doing a radio show from your ranch, I love that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
I
you're
love
welcome.
That. Yeah. Yeah. At some future now moment, that's going to happen. Sierra?
Yes. I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing the work that you're doing. I can so really get what you're saying about, you know, being down here, but that's what we came for. But what makes it easier is when folks of us, like-minded individuals and star seeds and people down here on mission, get together and spend time around each other. If you notice, just being in the presence of one another just gives us an ease and a place to be confided in and to be together. It's the community and it's the energy that sends everything at a higher up spiral. And so I just wanted to acknowledge you, really, is what I want to communicate, is to acknowledge you for your work and keep it up. We need you, and thank you for being on our radio show.
Oh, great. Yeah, we're doing all we can to keep it together here. You know, and we're not immune, you know. We have our challenges as well here to maintain the faith and keep it going.
Yeah, but you really do have friends in high places.
Yes, I know. For some reason I'm still alive.
Yeah, I guess. Well, James, if we as a community, as a network of Starseed, can, if you need to call on us for even just energetic, you know, focus, intent work from wherever we happen to be, I know we would all be honored to assist you in any way, any time that you call for it.
Yeah, well, anytime people want to say a little prayer for the ranch here at East Eddy and just see everything moving forward, you know, without all the interruptions or anything else, feel free. You know, we could use all the energetic help we can get.
Well, I think that calls for an emerald ray. And
that
we just have a minute for that. It's the thing that we do as a community where we mm-hmm. all just get really still for about 10 seconds and we send the emerald ray united from all of us to a certain person or location. So let's everybody just take 10 seconds here and send the emerald ray to the East Eddy. Why am I having trouble with that? East Eddy Ranch, and just see the green ray as being all systems green, everything easy, and lack of any resistance whatsoever. So on count of three. One, two, three. Oh, yes. Thank you so much to all of our listeners for joining us. And Mr. James Gilliland, and am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will be back next week. Don't forget about its Pleiadian lineup. Get your crystals outside. Get them all charged up. And take another step forward, everyone. Lavendar, Sierra, Mystic, Purple Sage. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.